The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back.
Ransom our futures. Boy, I'll tell you what. That's long ago happened, my friends. Good evening. Good morning if you're in the Far East. Good night if you're over in Europe. Welcome to our installment of Protecting Your Wealth as a segment. I think this is Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, Thursday segment of the National Intel Report. Jeff Bennett here watching some very interesting things go on around the world. Market reports first and out of the way. Interesting headlines. Stock market investors beginning to freak out about this ugly chart. And they're showing that beginning October the 25th, the junk bond market began getting scary. It's been going down ever since. Dow Jones Industrial off 101 points today to close at 23,461. S&P 500 down nearly 10 at 25,84. NASDAQ closed down nearly 40 points today to close at 67,50. Global Dow, who cares? I'm sorry. You know, some of you get upset that I say that. I really don't care. We got enough issues to deal with in this nation worrying about a global Dow. Oil off another 13 cents today, currently at $57.04 a barrel. What did the metals do today? Well, it's interesting. They've had an interesting up day. I've not looked at all the numbers across the board. I've been wrapped up with some very intense stuff. Rhodium flat, $1,195 an ounce. Palladium up $3 in the aftermarket at $1,006. Platinum up another dollar. Wow, it's up a whopping $4 since this time last week. $937 an ounce. Silver is up 3 cents in the after hours, but it is just shy of $17 an ounce at $1,697. Gold up 90 cents in the aftermarket. $1,285.40. Why does any of it matter? Well, I hope we're going to be able to get to the bottom of some of that today. I was on the line with John Stadtmiller for just a moment before I came on. One of the things we find interesting is the majority of the news out there. I am seeing so much news about Bitcoin. It is unbelievable. And unfortunately, I'm not going to have the time to get into it today because I'm going to start going down a different direction for the next couple of weeks. We're going to call it 101, back to the beginning, back to the future, whatever the case may happen to be. You'll understand why in just a few moments. Let me share a quote from you from some colleagues of mine, Pam and Russ Martins, that state a growing economy with related worries about increases in future inflation would typically produce rising yields on longer-term notes and bonds, not declining yields. A dramatic flattening in the yield curve is seen as a red flag for an economic slowdown, sagging inflation, and as a potential precursor to the onset of recession. None of that would be consistent with the Federal Reserve continuing to tighten interest rates, which it is expected to do again in December. Well, the simplification of it all is that gold had a bit of a rally today, following on gains. Silver slumped a little bit. Kind of the beginning of a flight to safety that got squelched. You see, we'll know when a real flight to safety catches hold because the continued efforts of the street, meaning Wall Street, to pump up stock prices is going to leave a lot of empty support levels underneath. And hence, as we have said before, in attempting to prevent a 3% correction, they're going to set up something stiffer in the neighborhood of 10%. And it's not because they're stupid or foolish. My friends, they just don't give a damn. Take your pick. Geopolitical or domestic events that could trigger such a sharp decline. The stage is set. I was going through some archives today, and in them, I came across a series of things. Before we get there, I've got to insert this. This came out just several hours ago. Less than a week after Venezuela shocked the world by announcing it would proceed to restructure its massive external debt, even as it was within the grace period on hundreds of millions in unpaid interest expense. Today, the socialist nation confirmed it has never been closer to an official default. Venezuela tonight is just 24 hours away from a formal declaration of default. Default of who? Default of international bankers? Default of crooked, lying, thieving politicians, all who are out for themselves. What's in it for me, Mikey? What's in it for me? You've ever seen The Godfather, you'll know where that line came from. Going through my archives, I came across some things that became interesting to me. I've read them, but it's been several years. But as I began to reread them, I began to understand why the time has come to revisit this amazing commentary. I refer to it as gold from every angle. No, there'll be no sales pitch today. There'll be no specific offering today. All I offer you is something to seriously consider. As we begin to discuss gold, as I mentioned, from every possible angle, how about gold as a deflation hedge? What I'm going to share with you will include deflation, chronic disinflation, runaway stagflation, hyperinflation. But what we're going to do tonight is examine gold's safe haven role during a deflationary event like the global 1930s economic depression. Consider these words from Nicholas Taleb in his article, The Black Swan, The Impact of the Highly Improbable. Taleb said, "The inability to predict outliers implies the inability to predict the course of history. But we act as though we are able to predict historical events, or even worse, as if we are able to change the course of history. We produce 30-year projections of Social Security deficits and oil prices without realizing that we cannot even predict these for next summer. Our cumulative prediction errors for political and economic events are so monstrous that every time I look at the empirical record, I've got to pinch myself to verify that I'm not dreaming. What is surprising is not the magnitude of our forecast errors, but of our absence of awareness of it." 2013, Alan Greenspan, in his writing The Map of the Territory, stated, "Having been mugged too often by reality, forecasters now express less confidence about our abilities to look beyond the immediate horizon. We will forever need to reach beyond our equations to apply economic judgment. Forecasters may never approach the fantasy success of the Oracle of Delphi or Nostradamus, but we can surely improve on the discouraging performance of the past. Mr. Greenspan, I highly question that statement. The study we're going to conduct tonight examines gold under the four most commonly predicted worst-case economic scenarios: a 1930s-style deflation, chronic Japanese-style disinflation, a 1970s-style runaway stagflation, and the Weimar-style hyperinflation. Aldous Huxley once wrote that men do not learn very much from the lessons of history is the most important of all lessons of history. I agree with Huxley's statement when applied to contemporary policymakers and central bankers. I do not agree with that statement when applied to their counterparts in the private sector, in other words, individual investors. As justification, we offer this ongoing and somewhat listing of storing statistics of late on private gold ownership here and abroad and all over the world, and most of which has been accumulated for safe haven purposes. That's why you and I accumulated. Individually, however, we can and do learn the lessons of history, even if we do not always do so collectively. We dedicate this series to those who believe, like Nicholas Taleb, that it is just as important to prepare for what we cannot foresee as to what we can see. Well, some might put their money on the latest Oracle of Delphi or the contemporary reincarnation of Nostradamus. Maybe they're going to pump it all into Bitcoin or some other cryptocurrency. Maybe they're going to put it into an all-seeing eye plug-in that can be downloaded from the internet. But in the end, such notions are the dreams of government planners and retired central bankers. But for the rest of us, a solid hedge in gold coin, as you're about to read, is the more sensible and reliable alternative, a wealth haven for all seasons. And before we even get started, I'm going to invite you to return to this program at least once a week for the next several weeks for the second and third and fourth and ultimately the fifth installment in the series, which we will continue to share with you. And so we return now to those days of yesteryear, 1929, gold as a deflation hedge. Webster defined deflation as a contraction in the volume of available money and credit that results in a general decline in prices. Typically, deflations occur in gold standard economies when the state is deprived of its ability to conduct bailouts or run deficits and print money. Characterized by high unemployment, bankruptcies, government austerity measures, and bank runs, a deflationary economic environment is usually accompanied by a stock and bond market collapse and general financial panic. An altogether unpleasant set of circumstances, but it's one that our fathers or maybe our grandfathers lived through. Oh, my father lived through it, but he was, what, a whopping 2 years of age when it all began. No, my grandfather, oh, he most definitely lived through it. And how did we live through it? What do we learn from these kind of events? Well, the Great Depression of the 1930s serves as a workable example of the degree to which gold protects its owners under deflationary circumstances. Well, first of all, because the price of gold was fixed at $20.67 per ounce, it gained purchasing power as the general price level fell. Now, in 1933, when the government raised the price of gold to $35 an ounce in an effort to reflate the economy through a formal devaluation of the dollar, gold gained even more purchasing power. Of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt also confiscated gold bullion by executive order in concert with the devaluation, but he exempted what were referred to as rare and unusual gold coins, which later were defined by regulations simply as items minted before 1933. As a result, only those citizens who owned gold coins dated before 1933 were able to reap the benefit of the higher fixed prices. Now, I'm looking at an unbelievable graph which illustrates all those gains and includes the gap between consumer prices and the gold price. I look at gold at the $20.67 an ounce. I take a look at what happened to the dollar. In effect, in purchasing power, it tanked to just over $14 an ounce in value. Actually, at one point in time, it was down around 12 and a half. But the value of gold went up in what it would buy. But secondly, since gold acts as a standalone asset that is not someone else's liability, it functioned as an effective store of value prior to 1933 for those who either converted a portion of their capital to gold bullion or withdrew their savings from the banking system in the form of gold coin before the crisis struck. Those who did not have gold as part of their savings plan found themselves at the mercy of events when the stock market crashed and the banks closed their doors, many of which had already been bankrupt. But how gold might react in a deflation under today's fiat money system is a somewhat more complicated scenario. Even deflation under a fiat money system, the general price level would be falling by definition. Economists who make the deflationary argument within the context of a fiat money economy usually use the analogy of the central bank pushing on a string. It wants to inflate, but no matter how hard it tries, the public refuses to borrow and spend. Now, if all of this sounds familiar, it should. This is precisely the situation in which the Federal Reserve found itself just a few short years ago. And in the end, so goes the deflationist argument. The central bank fails in its efforts. The economy rolls over from recession to a full-blown deflationary depression. And yet how the government treats gold under a deflationary scenario will play heavily into its performance. Consider these facts. If gold is subjected to price controls and restricted ownership as it was in the 1930s deflation, it would likely perform as it did then. In other words, its purchasing power would increase as the price level fell. Under such circumstances, the ownership of rare and unusual gold coins might once again come into play. Now, I've used that terminology twice now. Rare and unusual gold coins. No, those of you who've listened to me for any number of years know my feelings about this rare and unusual mentality. We'll talk more about that in maybe later in this program today. Maybe we'll do so next week. I don't know yet. I'll plug it in when I feel the time is right. Because it is important to understand exactly what took place during the Roosevelt years. Look, I'm not one of these people that gets on the airwaves or writes about, oh my God, confiscation, confiscation. If you don't buy this, they're going to take your gold away. No. I know the law. I know the way it's written. It's not that it can't be changed, but the way the law is written and structured right now, today, yes, I can take you down the path that will protect you. There's no two ways about it. Second issue. If ownership is not restricted, that means of gold, it would turn out to be the best of all possible worlds for gold owners. Its purchasing power would increase as the price level fell. And the price itself could rise as a result of increased demand from investors hedging systemic risks and financial market instability. And that, by the way, is the primary reason governments tend to restrict gold ownership when confronted with widespread bank runs and failing financial markets. Governments seize gold not because they need the money. They seize it to cut off the escape route and force capital flows back into the banks and financial markets, which is precisely the reason why governments have an interest in controlling the price of gold. Former Fed Chairman Paul Volcker, it has been copiously reported, once said that gold is my enemy. I'm always watching what it's doing. Now, there's no direct evidence I know of that the Fed or the Treasury Department intervened directly in the gold market during Volcker's tenure. His statement does reflect the acute interest in gold on the part of monetary policymakers. Now, Greenspan voiced a similar interest in gold throughout his Fed chairmanship and still does to this day. And yet, unlike Volcker, he's always defended gold and expressed an appreciation for its use as a form of money, or, in fact, final payment or reconciliation. If one is not aware of that, I would urge you to give me just a quick second here. When you have a chance later this evening, I invite you to go to KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. Kettle is spelled just like a pot and a pan and a kettle. K-E-T-T-L-E. Moraine is spelled M as in Mary, O-R-A-I as in Indian, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward. KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. I want you to hold your cursor over the section that says the information vault. Bring your cursor down to the area that says why gold. This is an area that does not get a large amount of increases. It's fairly stagnant. I've got a series of articles and columns in there. The truth about money, gold, a valuable thing to store. That's one written by Gary North many years ago. The Legend of Jacques Dupré, which is one of the shortest, sweetest, truest, most interesting stories you will ever read about a Frenchman who owned gold, who acquired a very large amount of it, and spent a certain amount of it every day for the rest of his life, which was many years, by the way. And when he died, his favorite nephew inherited his estate and still had roughly over 50% of the gold, which by that time was worth at least twice what Dupré had originally paid for him. We have a very involved dissertation about Roosevelt and the gold confiscation. What I've done is I've recreated the poster, but I've now come across the full-blown poster, which I will be adding into this so that you can go in and read it. A lengthy piece that I wrote years ago called The Ides of Rare Coin Dealers, or in effect, The Ideas of Rare Coin Dealers, an expose of the pirates of the precious metal underworld and how you can protect your assets from them. Very, very important. And finally, a historical sketch of paper currency. But the one I want you to look at is called Gold and Economic Freedom. One of the main lines in this piece states, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. The author, Alan Greenspan, Gold and Economic Freedom. You will find that at KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. And you know what? Worst comes to worst, you might even be able to just go right into the search engine. I'm going to do this right now because I don't think I've ever done it. Greenspan on gold, G-R-E-E-N-S-P-A-N on gold. Let's see what happens here. Come on. Well, I guess I got to hit the search button. That's not it. I guess everywhere Greenspan's name is, it pops up. Yep, it's there. You scroll on down, Gold and Economic Freedom. You can just go on into the little search button at the top. It says Search Archives. Just type in Greenspan on Gold and scroll on down until you see that column, Gold and Economic Freedom. It's something else to read, I'll tell you that. Let's go back to our story. Let's see if I can pick up where I left off. I did not somehow make a note. Greenspan, as we just mentioned, voiced a similar interest in gold through his I just lost my place, bear with me. Through his Fed chairmanship, still does to this day, many years after he's retired. Unlike Volcker, Greenspan has always defended gold and expressed an appreciation for its use, as we just shared with you. You see, gold in the end is not just competition for the dollar. It is competition for bank deposits, stocks, bonds, most particularly during times of economic stress. And that, my friends, is the source of enduring interest among policymakers. And so, the disinflationary period leading up to and following the financial market meltdown of 08, to me, serves as a good example of how the second scenario might unfold. The disinflationary economy is a close second to deflation. Well, let's just look like we've got time to get into that one tonight, because we're going to cover two chapters tonight. And all of this is going to provide some solid clues as to what we might expect from gold under a full deflationary breakdown. Part two, coming up in just a few moments, or maybe right now. I can't even see my clock on the computer. They drive me nuts. I need to get like a big clock in front of me so I can see it, you know. And so now we endeavor to step into the second part of this series. Thank you. I appreciate that. And this one's going to talk about how gold performs during periods of disinflation. Now, all of this is going to examine gold's safe haven role during a disinflationary breakdown like the ones we experienced between 2008 and 2009. So I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to go to a break in just a moment. And when we come back, we're going to delve into it, because it's pretty damn strong. Gold is a disinflation hedge. United States, 2008. It becomes, to many of you, a tedious presentation. I'm not jumping all over the place, just making fun and jokes and everything else. This is some serious stuff. If you've ever considered wanting to own gold, these are amongst the reasons. These might even answer your own questions. We'll be back in a few minutes. Because the heat is on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We like to think we're doing, taking care of business every day.
Interesting. Michael, take a look at that piece. I hope that's not one of the ones we recorded, because there's a major issue with it, and that issue is in the last paragraph. Yeah, good. That's the one. There it is. It's right there for you. Let me share this with you. Welcome back. Second half of tonight's Protecting Your Wealth. Read up on history, my friends. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Well, it's almost Friday, although tomorrow's a holiday. Will the end come this Friday, next, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while?
Look, who knows what evil lurks in the hearts and minds of men? The shadow knows. The shadow of government, the Federal Reserve, the United Nations, and most importantly, the shadow of the unseen, unknown powers so devious and greedy and traitorous to these great United States of America. Only now are we as a people beginning to realize what may be in store for our future. I offer you over 60 years experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail on the balance and protection of your safety, security, your portfolio, your umbrella, because as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this great nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you so richly deserve. When we realize that the final economic plunge has begun, it will then be too late. Convert these questionable dollars into something of real worth and do it now. I invite you to visit kettlemarineprecious metals.com and our sister site goldenira.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or better yet, call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 623-327-1778 for a private consultation. That's 623-327-1778. Thanks for your consideration. Let us return to our dissertation on gold tonight. Just as in the 1970s, reinforced gold's efficiency as a stagflation. Now, that stagflation is a combination of economic stagnation and inflation. Yeah, it was a stagflation hedge in the modern era. The 2000s decade solidly established gold's credentials as a disinflation hedge. Now, disinflation is defined as a decrease in the inflation rate over time, or a constantly low inflation rate. Should not be confused with deflation, which is an actual drop in the price level. Disinflations, as pointed out, are close cousins to deflations, and they can evolve to that if the central bank fails for whatever reason in its stimulus programs. Central banks today, they're activists by design. To think that a modern central bank would sit back during a disinflation and let the chips fall where they may is to misunderstand its role. Oh, it will attempt to stimulate the economy by one means or another. The only question becomes is whether or not it will succeed. Up until the double digits, the manual on gold read that it performed well under inflationary and deflationary circumstances, but not much else. And yet, as the decade of asset bubbles, financial institution failures, global systemic and sovereign debt risk progressed, gold marched to higher ground 1 year after another. And as events unfolded, it became increasingly clear that the metal was capable of delivering the goods under disinflationary circumstances as well. Look, the fact of the matter is that during the 2000s, even as the inflation rate hovered in the low single digits, gold managed to rise from just under $300 an ounce in the early 2000s to just over $1,900 per ounce by 2011. A gain of over 600%. Yes. Sure, gold's taking a breather. As this essay is being shared with you, gold is trading in the upper $1,200 per ounce range. Still up over 400% in the new century. Yes. Think about it in those terms. Gold is still up over 200% from where it was in the very early 2000s. Not bad, but I bought at a higher rate. Well, that's your problem. You don't sit around waiting for it to go up and up and up and then get convinced that now's the time to do it. Look, the best, most modern-day example I can give to you is, let's go back 6-7 years, the introduction of what is, at least as of right now, the most well-known cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, a buck. What's it worth today? $7,800 per Bitcoin? But the profits aren't there unless you take some. You do not leave them all laying on the table? Or are you convinced it's going to go to $100,000 a Bitcoin? Well, then you do what you got to do. Don't come crying to me when you've got nothing left to put into real assets, assets that have been around for how many millions of years? Assets that have always taken care of those who had them? It's the rainy day equation, folks. It's your umbrella. When the storms hit, you whip out the umbrella, you protect yourself. That's what gold is. So, in the aftermath of the 08-09 financial crisis, something else happened to gold. It firmly established itself with private investors and nation states as perhaps the ultimate asset of last resort. You see, as the economy flirted with a tumble into the deflationary abyss in recent years, it encouraged the kind of behavior among investors that one might have expected in the early days of a full deflationary breakdown. With all the elements of a financial panic, stocks tumbled, banks teetered, unemployment rose, mortgages went into foreclosures, nation states defaulted on their debts. Welcome, Venezuela. Disinflation globally became chronic and debilitating. I look at the figures of London gold, London spot gold, their price versus consumer price index. Gold price just shot way the heck up. The price index stayed reasonably flat. But you see, as it became evident that the economic and financial malaise could become a permanent fixture in the new norm, gold came under accumulation globally. In 2009, U.S. gold American Eagle sales, a bellwether for public interest in the metal, broke all records by a wide margin. And the pace of accumulation has remained at high levels ever since, this being the first year that things have settled off a little bit. The world's central banks, historically at odds with one another with respect to currency policies, teamed up to deliver ever larger doses of monetary stimulus that goes far behind ordinary tinkering with interest rates. Money printing has now become a global undertaking, a phenomenon, the consequences of which are yet to be determined, my friends. I take a look at some of the numbers. I mean, 09 was, up to that point in time, the biggest year of mintage for American Gold Eagle sales. They started out in 2002, they were at maybe 300,000 of them. 2003, it went up to about 450,000 one-ounce gold American Eagles. Broke the 500 rate in 2004. 2005, it backed off a little bit. 06 and 07, it dropped off tremendously. In 2007, they did less than only about 200,000 one-ounce gold American Eagles. 08 set a record at over 800,000 one-ounce gold American Eagles. In 2009, over 1.4 million. And then it began to drop off again. But you see, by 2011, that's when we reached that $1,600, $1,700, $1,800, $1,900 an ounce figure. And while all this nonsense is going on, when all the banks were manipulating and the foreclosures and the short sales, I got to tell you something. In Maricopa County, Arizona, where I live, is the fastest growing county in the country right now. Number one, it's affordable. It's affordable to buy here. You know, during the malaise after 07 and 08 when the housing market crashed, I know of people who were making phone calls to people in California. A house of the type that I live in, it's not a great house, 2,300 square feet, four bedrooms. It's basically got what I would call two living rooms, a dining room, three-car garage, a swimming pool, a very tiny yard, although I grow food on it. We've got a massive grapefruit tree that just puts out phenomenal amounts of food year-round. And but you got these walls around. You make it feel closed in all the time. the height of the market, this place was bringing $400,000. I didn't pay that for it. I paid about $320. When the markets came down in 07 and 08, this neighborhood has never fully recovered. Whereas other neighborhoods around us, which are newer, meaning less grief living in them, so to speak, this neighborhood's not rebounded. I'm still a good $40,000 under what I paid for it. But you know what? If the right buyer came along, I'd walk out of here. But I know of people who were picking up the phone, getting a hold of realtors over here, buying houses for next to nothing. They could buy homes in older neighborhoods for $70,000, $80,000. House like that in California would be $250,000. And you know what they were doing with those houses? Putting people in them to rent. And they've been making income ever since. And yet when all of this stuff was going on, the disinflationary crisis that began in 08 and 09, it's still with us. Gold demand has declined a bit this year, but for the most part, it's gone undeterred. Remember, no matter how far down it's come, gold is still up over 400% from where it began 15, 16 years ago. Of course, a lot of folks thought the price correction would dampen interest, but the opposite has happened. And the Chinese are buying, and the Russians are buying, and the people in India are buying. But for some, it encouraged a new wave of investment interest. As I say, particularly in the Far East, where low prices were greeted with a wave of public demand. In 2013, China reportedly imported nearly the equivalent of the world's annual gold mine output, nearly 2,700 tons. And other emerging and developed nation states alike have experienced their own versions of a new gold rush to own. But what do? Sitting home, lighting up a Lucky, checking on the camel. Me, I go take a look at my old golds every once in a while. For those of you who smoke, you'll understand the triple joke. All in all, everything that we know, everything that we can see, and many things we cannot see amply demonstrate, yes, the 21st century ushered in a new era for gold, one which had filled a hole in its resume. Now gold has come to be viewed as an effective hedge against one of the contemporary economy's most nettlesome problems, chronic disinflation, and the systemic financial risks that it periodically imposes. Now, how much trust do you put in our government? They're talking about the taxes. Oh, well, maybe we're gonna put off the tax breaks to the corporations till 2019. Now, think about that. Think about that. So they're getting a break now, huh? Let's move on. What about gold's safe haven role during a stagflationary breakdown, like the one we had in the 1970s? How many of you remember that? In the contemporary global fiat money system, when the economy goes into a major tailspin, both the unemployment and the inflation rates tend to move higher in tandem. The word stagflation is a combination of the words stagnation and inflation. Ronald Reagan famously added unemployment and inflation together in describing the economy in the 70s and called it the misery index. And as the misery index moved higher throughout the decades, so did the price of gold. At a glance back at history, it told the story of gold as a runaway stagflation hedge. The misery index more than tripled in that 10-year period, but gold rose by nearly 16 times. Much of that rise was attributed to pent-up pressure resulting from many years of price suppression during the gold standard years when gold was fixed by government mandate. But even after accounting for the fixed price, it would be difficult to argue that gold did not respond readily and directly to the misery index during the stagflationary 70s. But you see, in a certain sense, the U.S. experience in the 70s was the first of the runaway stagflation breakdowns following Nixon's abandonment of the gold standard in 71. Following the 1970s, U.S. experience, similar situations cropped up from time to time in other nation states. Argentina in the late 90s comes to mind. Asian contagion in 97, Mexico in 86. In each instance, as the misery index rose, the investor who took shelter in gold preserved his or her assets as the crisis moved from one stage to the next. But fortunately, the 1970s in the United States was relatively moderate by historical standards, in that the situation fell short of escalating to either a deflationary or hyperinflationary breakdown. These lesser events, however, quite often serve as preludes to more severe and debilitating events at some point down the road. All in all, it's difficult to classify stagflations of any size and duration as insignificant to the middle class. It's interesting, that line, because I don't care if we talk about inflation, stagflation, deinflation, disinflation. Why is it that it's always the middle class that suffers the most? The rich aren't suffering it. They may not like it, but they're not suffering through it. Now, what about the poor, the downtrodden, the lowest end of the socioeconomic scale? Let's be honest, so many of the middle class have now been pushed into that realm anyway. Keep in mind, few of us will gain comfort from the fact that the misery index we were experiencing failed to transcend the 100% per annum threshold, or it failed to escalate to a state of hyperinflation or deflation. But just the specter of a double-digit misery index, that should be enough to provoke some judicious port planning, with gold serving as the hedge. Do you begin to understand why gold? Why we put gold into our holdings? Why it's important to have it there? In our next segment, which I expect we'll get back to next Tuesday, and believe it or not, I've actually already shared the first three parts of this five-part series. The fourth installment is going to specifically discuss gold's safe haven role during a hyperinflationary breakdown. Oh, Bennett, that's never going to happen. What do you think? This is Weimar Germany? What is this, Venezuela? Is it Zimbabwe? It wouldn't take much more than a turning of the screw for it to become any one of those. Oh, albeit the banks, the central banks still control the printing presses. That's a mythical way out. It's not the way out. In the longest haul, it puts us deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss. And I hate to tell you this. I had a conversation with someone today, and I don't even recall who it was. Yes, I do. It was Steve down in Florida. And he's only the only person other than myself that believes as I do. Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies are all a part of the international banking scam. I am absolutely convinced of it. Some of you aren't going to buy it. You're not going to believe it. Ah, but I made so much money with it. Good. I'm glad. I am glad you're making money with it. But it does not do you any good unless you take some of that out and do something with it. I don't know if I can find this piece that I found today. I shared it with my morning audience. Here it is. Get this. $300 million in cryptocurrency vanished overnight earlier this week. Oh, they blamed user error. Yep. Happened earlier this week. $300 million of crypto. cryptocurrency has been lost. And there's no guarantee it's going to be had back. So, where's the gain? Time allowing on Tuesday, and that's quite a mouthful because I've still got two more chapters of this discussion on gold to have. It might be worth my... I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Go to kettlemarineprecious.com sometime later tonight. I'm going to post this entire piece about the theft of the cryptocurrency. You read it. You start looking at it very, very carefully. By the way, it's also well worth reading some of the comments at the end of the original post, if I can get any of them there. It's spooky. Very, very spooky. Yeah. Scary stuff. Man. I'll do my best to get that posted tonight, even if I do it with just a title and a link. $300 million in cryptocurrency vanished overnight, two nights ago. User error? A user accidentally destroys $300 million worth of cryptocurrency? Oops. Effectively, it means a user accidentally stole hundreds of crypto wallets simultaneously and then set them on fire in a panic while trying to give them all back. I want the real deal, man. I want the real deal. I want something of value in my pocket. Now, very quickly. Oh, no, where'd it go? Where'd it go? I just closed something I didn't mean to close. It was important. I got to share this with you. I got what I need. I got to share this with you real quickly, so kind of keep the music back for a second. I want you to understand how our life has changed. Our life changes. I've been married 47 years. Married 47 years, I looked at my wife one day and said, "Honey, 47 years ago, we had a cheap apartment, a cheap car. We slept on a sofa bed. We watched a 10-inch black and white television. But I got to sleep every night with a hot 25-year-old blonde. Now we got a nice house. We got a nice car, big bed, plasma screen TV. But I'm sleeping with a 72-year-old woman. It seems to me you're not holding up your side of the things." "Well, look, my wife's a pretty reasonable woman," she said, "Honey. Go out and find yourself a hot 25-year-old blonde, and she'd make sure that I'd once again be living in a cheap apartment, driving a cheap car, and sleeping on a sofa bed." That's the lesson from my wife for that day. How life changes, my friends. And you think about it, and it's a joke. It's just a marvelous piece I read over at Jackson Press, and I laughed so hard. Don't look at the wife or the husband and say, "Hey, you used to be pretty hot, but what do I got now?" That's the response you're going to get. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'll be back next Tuesday, but keep tuning in to kettlemarineprecious.com. Give me a call if I can be of any assistance to you. Much more coming up here at RBN tonight. Stay with us. We will see you when we see you. Good night.
Red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.